The air in the boardroom was always cold. Not just the temperature, but the atmosphere. I could feel the chill even through my tailored suit. My name is Akari Tanaka. I am a senior associate at one of the most prestigious law firms in the city. Or I was. Akari, can you get the notes for us today? Michael's voice cut through the discussion. He didn't even look at me. He was still addressing the senior partner across the table. My pen was already poised. It always was. I had been asked to take notes in every single board meeting for the last 3 years. I was the only senior associate in the room. I was also the only Asian woman. I bit back the automatic, "Of course, Michael." Instead, I just nodded. A slight, almost imperceptible movement. My hand started to write, capturing the bullet points about Q3 projections. But my mind was elsewhere. It was ticking. It was burning. I looked around the room. All white men. Partners. They talked over each other. Their voices booming. Their ideas were hailed as genius. My reports, meticulously researched and presented, were often met with polite nods, then promptly ignored. Last year, I brought in the largest new client of any associate. My billable hours consistently topped the charts. I had closed 3 major deals that kept our M&A department thriving. Yet promotions went to my male colleagues. Not quite ready, they'd say. Needs more leadership experience. What did leadership experience even mean in a firm where I wasn't given the chance to lead? I was the worker bee, the silent achiever, the one who made everyone else look good. Later that week, I saw the new associate, Mark, get assigned to lead a task force on a major case. Mark, who had been here 6 months. Mark, who I had trained. I felt a cold dread settle in my stomach. This wasn't just a coincidence anymore. It was a pattern, a ceiling. A bamboo ceiling, as they called it. Invisible, yet impenetrable. I went home that night and stared at my reflection. Who was I becoming? A quiet, compliant shadow? I had worked too hard for this. My parents had sacrificed everything for me to have this opportunity. To be invisible now felt like a betrayal of their dreams, of my own. The next morning, I walked into my office. It felt smaller, suffocating. I opened my laptop, not to draft a brief, but to research. I started looking into employment law, discrimination cases, systemic bias. The words felt empowering, dangerous. I called an old friend, Kenji. He was an attorney in a different field, but he knew people. Akari, you're sure about this? He asked, his voice low. Taking on your own firm? That's career suicide. What career? I shot back, my voice sharper than I intended. The one where I take notes while others take credit? The one where I'm constantly overlooked? He paused. I get it, he said finally. I know a good lawyer, specializes in this. That meeting was the beginning. The lawyer, Miss Ramirez, was sharp, direct. She listened to my story, nodding occasionally. She saw the binders of my performance reviews, the lists of my accomplishments, the promotion records of my peers. She saw the pattern. The data spoke for itself. This won't be easy, Akari, she warned. They will fight you. They will try to discredit you. They will make an example of you. I looked out her office window, at the city skyline. My firm's building loomed large. Let them, I said. My voice was steady. For the first time in a long time, I felt a flicker of defiance. A spark. The first letter went out a week later. A formal complaint. I didn't tell anyone at the firm. I went about my work as usual, but everything felt different. Every polite smile felt like a mask. Every casual comment felt loaded. I felt like a spy in my own life. Then came the summons. My name was on it. Akari Tanaka Vesterling and Finch LLP. It was public now. The quiet whispers started. The sideways glances. My phone began to ring less often. Invitations to firm social events stopped. One afternoon, Michael walked into my office. His face was unreadable. Akari, he began, his voice surprisingly soft. What is this? Can we talk about this? This is unnecessary. I looked at him. No, I stared. Really stared for the first time. I saw a man who had benefited from the system. A man who couldn't comprehend why someone would challenge it. Michael, I said, my voice calm. I have been talking about this for years. My work has spoken for itself. You just weren't listening. He just stood there. Then he turned and left. The next day, I was locked out of the firm's system. My email was disabled. My access card didn't work. A courier delivered a box to my apartment later that evening. My personal belongings. My office cleared out. I sat on my living room floor, surrounded by my old files, my framed degrees, my nameplate still gleaming. I was out, just like that. The firm had moved swiftly, ruthlessly. A wave of fear washed over me. What had I done? This wasn't just my career. It was my identity, my stability, my future, all gone. But beneath the fear, another feeling stirred, a quiet sense of resolve. I had stood up. I had pushed back. I had chosen not to be silent anymore. The legal battle would be long. It would be draining. I knew that. My professional life, as I knew it, was over. There was no path back to that gleaming office, to those cold boardrooms. The bridges were burned. All of them. My phone rang. It was Miss Ramirez. Akari, she said. They've started their counterfiling. They're gonna fight dirty. I know, I replied. My voice was steady. I'm ready. I looked at the box of my old life. A small framed photo of my parents smiled back at me. They had taught me resilience. They had taught me strength. This was not the end. It was the beginning of something else. Something entirely new. It was a consequence I chose.